Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started.
Well, hey, Mark, I'm in the presence of royalty, of podcasting, kingship or something, because you've been the guest on another podcast here.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I've been asked.
Oh, is it the first
that.
Time?
Is it?
I don't remember, but it strikes me as is at least famous. You're at least famous.
We did. Well, the funny story is we did that interview almost a year ago now.
Oh.
So I thought it must not have been what they were looking for or something. No, no, something something came up on their end. And
So it wasn't a bad interview.
No, well, no, I don't think
it is
so.
Kind of I would be insecure about that myself, yeah.
Yeah, it was something we were really, really nervous about doing. The podcast is called Step Into Grace. And
okay.
It was a friend of ours that we met through Johnny and Friends and the work that Cindy and I do there. And this is a woman who does her own podcast with a co-host as well. And she heard our story and invited us to come on and tell it. And so we did that almost a year ago, and it went out within the last couple of weeks. So
okay. Well, you did Step Into Grace, so I suppose that was appropriate place for you to tell a story.
We did, and it was fun to do with Cindy. I really enjoyed...
You still like her?
I do.
That's good.
And really, she just... the things that she shared and her perspective, it's even... We have a lot of places, obviously, where they're the same, but she has her own perspectives as well, and I loved even listening back to it and hearing her share some of those things really stood out to me.
What was it that you liked about what she shared?
I just think it's a different perspective. It was really important to me from the beginning when I first started learning about faith in Jesus and what this meant it came from a place where I was the husband, I was in charge, I made the decisions, the important decisions, and I knew coming to faith in Jesus that I couldn't make that decision for my wife or for my kids, that was something that they were going to have to do. And so listening to her share how the Lord worked in her life and how she came to faith independent from me in Jesus. Because another part of it is our family's still there. The accusation would be that Mark drugged Cindy out of followers, that he, you know, she's just following her husband, so she didn't, you know, really do anything. She's not as bad as him, maybe, but it was...
Well, she may not be as bad as him, but that might be for other reasons.
Yeah. But, no, I just love to hear her perspective and just the genuineness of... her faith in Jesus at a high cost.
Yeah, for herself, though, not for you.
Right.
See, I think that's probably some of what you're trying to, what you enjoy about it is the fact that it's her own personal faith, not, you know, her obligation to somehow please you or keep in step with you or follow you.
Right, and I loved the way that it all kind of worked together, too, because she did talk about how... you know, I had come to faith before she did, and I was trying to... she talks about how I start out by keeping it from her. Because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know... Like, our whole life was going to change because of this. And I didn't know how to even start on this subject. But I started mentioning things to her, or just hearing her say it. He started mentioning things to me and showing me things in the Bible. And in her words, I would say, yeah, I can see that that's what that said. But be quiet about that because it's going to disrupt our family. It's going to ruin everything.
She actually said that?
Yeah. Yeah. Just.
Oh.
And
well, I was thinking maybe I just would replace you with her since you say she's so interesting. But if she's talking like that, I don't know.
it was a process for sure.
I can share,
So there was the part that I got to play in that, but then she talks about at the end of her story was that God had to do something that she wasn't strong enough to do. And that's what I love about the story.
Well, and that's the ultimate truth for all of us.
Yeah.
We had a couple of baptisms here the other day, mm-hmm. and I just remember Marcia and I were talking about it after the fact, and we had some of the families over, and we were just talking about what's it going to take, and we just realized for that to continue, it's going to take the work of God. And was the same Sunday that I think, or maybe it was the next Sunday, that we talked about Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watchman wakes but in vain.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a work of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that it's easy to lose sight of when you want something to happen, so you want to manipulate it to happen, or angle for it to happen, or work really hard for it to happen. But spiritual things like this require the Lord's work.
Yeah, and it was a really good lesson for me early on too, because I'm a person that likes to control things and make a good argument, and I'll lay out all the facts and you'll have no choice but to agree with me kind of thing. I knew from the beginning with this that I had to be praying for the Lord's help with this, because I was going to say in the place we came from, but I think this is true with anybody, that following Jesus is not about making the strongest logical argument and making that case to somebody and getting them to make a decision. There's something that God has to do in your heart before you can make that decision.
So you knew that you couldn't overpower her or browbeat her into some sort of belief, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, and that's what she shared in telling that story, I can see that what you're saying is true, but put that away because it's going to cost us everything. And so the Lord just had to be involved. And I keep saying we're invited to share our story, but this is God's story. When we're talking about sharing this story, this is a story that God's been doing for a long, long time. It's just we got to play a part in this part of it. So, it was a lot of fun to tell that. We were nervous when we were doing it because we know, like even doing this podcast, I know people, there are people who are still at Followers, if they're listening to this, they don't like that I'm doing it probably because it's kind of an us versus them mentality when you're at Followers. And I do want to make sure that we've said it before, but I want to say it here, that's not the mentality that we have doing this podcast. This is not a us versus them kind of thing.
I would say it opposite of that. I would say it, we're 100% for them.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not trying to win. There's no winning for us or for, you don't win. It's the same story you were just talking about with Cindy. You don't win some contest so that someone then has to believe. This is not what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
It is, I think, reasonable, and I think it's the good life to have faith in the Lord, but it's not about winning or driving a wedge between, us and them or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure. So, and so sharing these things and telling our story, it's not meant to be against anyone out there, so... one of the things Cindy did share that we mentioned was that she talked about how the husband is the head of the house and they make all the decisions, and the wife is right at Followers if she obeys her husband even if he's doing the wrong thing. So it's all on the husband, and the wife, right or wrong, if she's obeying her husband, she's good. And she talked about the pressure that is on the men at Followers, and that stands out to her as the pressure that they feel. And I think in what we just shared, that I cannot follow Jesus for my whole family. I can't have a relationship with Jesus for my whole family. So the pressure isn't there for me to create a relationship between Jesus and my wife or Jesus and my kids. They have to have that relationship with him apart from me or in addition to my relationship with Jesus. And so that part stood out to me or stood out to her. And what stands out to me is that pressure that wives must feel, that women must. I like to be in control of things a lot, and I can't imagine if my expectation was to just do what somebody tells me, whether I know it's right or wrong, just do it anyway. That would not work for me. I can't imagine what that must feel like to have to do that.
I have nothing to say about this, Mark. It does make me laugh to think of you having to, you know, do something that somebody told you all the time.
Yeah.
But that is, you know, the reality is there's pressure both ways.
Yeah.
And that's part of the high pressure. I mean, one of the things, and I don't know how much we've talked about this, but we talked about it last episode, I guess, but the pressure that is applied essentially by the church to husbands and wives, what we're talking about today, or to family members, what we talked about last week, that the pressure is real. Mm-hmm. And when you have a teaching or a belief like this, that the husband is responsible and the wife has to follow no matter what, you just add to the pressure by inserting absolute kind of authority into a relationship that does have authority, but it's not absolute. And so it is a real problem. And I think that one of the things that, you know, it's my job to say is that this happens all over the place.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it happens in some churches that you would consider to be orthodox or kind of down, I don't know if I'd consider them down the middle, but I would consider them to be, for the most part, good churches, and this happens, and it's additional pressure that they probably don't need. And it happens in, likely happens in the majority, I would say, of one right churches throughout the world. If in fact it's kind of a flag, whether it's in and of itself it's a red flag, I don't know, but it's certainly a flag that you need to pay attention to, that if the husband has absolute authority, then I think you need to look out, because that is just one small step from abuse. It's one small step from, you know, too much control. Yeah. And it does go hand in glove with the control that a one right church would place on an individual or a family or, you know, the whole group. So
yeah, it is. And it seems like when it's an authority that can't be questioned, like that's really, to me, when the flag goes up. And that's always been a challenge for me my whole life at Followers, was when I couldn't ask a question, then I started.
You started having
I
more.
I started having more questions. Yeah.
Well, I remember that was actually one of the things you wanted to call this podcast, something like that.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask questions.
That,
I think.
Yeah, so, something like that. So, the whole prospect of questioning authority has been on your radar from episode.
It has. Yeah, and I think there's a. I mean, to be fair, I think there's a right way to ask questions and a wrong way to ask questions too. I would never, and I've believe me, I've done it the wrong way plenty of times. But I wouldn't recommend asking questions with like anger or bitterness or, you know, trying to find what's wrong. I want people to ask questions because they want to know what's right. You know, trying to find the the positive. Just help me understand why we do this way. And when nobody had those answers, and I was accused of asking for the wrong reasons, even when I knew that I wasn't.
That's a problem.
That was a problem.
But I think, you know, curiosity is, essentially curiosity is what you're trying to encourage.
Yeah.
When you say ask questions. It's just be curious. And I think that if you have a faith that is grounded in the Bible, it should be able to stand up under curious kinds of questions.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is very easy to ask different kinds of questions when you're hurt or when you're angry or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think standing up under the scrutiny, I'm very confident that especially the major things of the Bible, the resurrection and the atoning death of Christ and all of the things stand up really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the greatest things that I learned is that somebody told me that the Bible is not afraid of your questions and that that's where you can go to get the answers. You know, this is I love that we have a faith that we can have questions and that we can trust that that God's word will give us those answers. So
I know that you wanted to call the whole podcast to ask questions, but really you're kind of wanting to talk about here the pressure that the different kinds of pressure that husbands feels and that wives feel, right?
Right.
And that's is there any particular way that they should respond to that pressure differently, do you think?
For the men, I would probably want to just tell them to pray about this, to ask for wisdom. James says that if you lack wisdom, ask. Don't just give in to the idea that I can't understand what the Bible says. I don't know, so I'm just going to go by what the people have done before me and just go along to get along, or however that saying goes. But also don't feel the pressure to save your spouse, because you can't. And that is a big pressure. When I listened to Cindy talk about that and then I really looked back and thought about it, it is a big pressure. And I would say look to the Bible for your answers would be a big one. I didn't do that when I was a husband at Followers. I made decisions based on what would give us the best life at Followers, where we would keep our social standing, where we wouldn't lose friends, where we wouldn't embarrass family. And that's not something you want to live with the rest of your life. You are responsible for the decisions that you make. And if you, there's a freedom when you make those decisions truly for what you think is what God wants rather than how I'm expected to behave by this group of people. There's a lot of pressure in making your decisions based on what people want you to do or expect you to do.
Yeah, you said, you know, I don't want people to feel the pressure. Well, they feel the pressure regardless.
Yeah.
What you really want is people to think and to question and to ask and to pray and to read their Bibles on their own, seeking the answer from the Bible rather than seeking to somehow placate the people around them and win their approval.
Yeah.
Is that a summary of what you've been trying to say?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And then for the women, I would want to give them some freedom because they have questions. They just do. I've talked to Cindy about this. There were things she wondered about. They have questions. I would say that if you have questions about Jesus or anything else in the Bible, to ask them. same thing. Ask the Lord to help you understand what you're reading in His Word. He will do that. Ask your husband and your friends. But I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying ask these questions in a divisive way or in a contentious kind of a way, but just ask, because you never know if somebody might already have that same question, and they just need to hear that someone else has it too, and it could start some really good conversations.
Well, and it was, hearing a different version of your story, it was a comfort to you.
Yeah.
When Cindy began to ask questions that
yes.
you were already asking and you were maybe afraid to bring up.
Yeah.
So that was an encouragement too. So
yeah.
I would say that, it taking a little risk on that is would be encouraged.
Another big part of the story was our son Andrew, when he heard that we, potentially might not be at Followers very much longer, went home pretty upset. And when he brought all this up to his wife, Madison, she told him, I've been having these questions for years. And it just became it relieved the pressure instead of adding to the pressure. So
that may happen, yeah.
I understand it's risky because I do know what's at stake for a lot of people. But I would say just have the conversations, ask the questions, and it could end up being a great story.
Like yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is. It's a, it's funny how it always comes back to the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It always comes back to the pressure. And I think that, you don't strike me as someone who lives now with the pressure of trying to measure up or please people at church or, yeah. Be the perfect person. Maybe you are, but you don't strike me that way. And I just think that there is I want to maybe advertise a freedom from the pressure, because I really think that that is something to consider with respect to the decisions you make in the rest of your life, is you can be free from that pressure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And just to respond, I guess, I do recognize that is still part of my flesh, that is something that has been ingrained into me.
Trained into you, yeah.
To want people to be happy with what I'm doing and to care what people think. But I can recognize it now, and I can make decisions based on what I believe God wants me to do, knowing that Jesus loves me, even if I make some people unhappy. And my goal is not to make anybody unhappy, but it's that freedom you're talking about. It's just the pressure is just gone from that. So I would love for that to be the case for others as well.
Well, if you put it together with this episode, last episode, I would love for the pressure to be relieved between husbands and wives.
Yeah.
I'd love for the pressure to be relieved between family and friends, that even if there is differences, that you can still love one another and be in relationship with one another, and the pressure doesn't have to drive all the decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. Well, we've talked about telling our story, and we would sing the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." We've done that on here before, but it says, "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee." So this is really God's story, and when we tell our story, I hope it never comes across as our story, but it's that he did this for us, and he wants to do it for others. And
yeah, and when you think about the pressure, I'm kind of stuck on the pressure, I'll admit. Even that song just said he satisfies the longings.
Yeah.
And that is that's a relief of pressure.
It says as nothing else can do.
Exactly.
And I looked for so many other things to relieve pressure, and it may be temporarily, but God can relieve that pressure permanently.
Great.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.